Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, and chapter 1, reading from verse 39. So many passages, of course, about the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ in, all the, in the, at least the three Gospels, or two Gospels. So there's many passages, so we have to pick and choose some from each. So this morning we're going to look from Luke and verse 39. Where it says, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.' And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever.' And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house." So for the reading of God's word. See, people of God, all the various passages about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ have the same purpose, which is that people would understand and receive and rejoice in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That they would not miss the meaning of these events. That they would not miss what God was accomplishing, what the purpose of God was in sending his Son. This was such an important event. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was so vital to our interests that it could not be overlooked. It couldn't be ignored. That's what brought the Lord Jesus Christ to tears, you remember, when he was going to enter Jerusalem. That they'd missed it. That in their very midst, the Lord Jesus Christ was born and conducted his ministry and now was to give his life a ransom for many, and they had no clue. Had no clue. They didn't know that all that they needed, the sin and misery that filled their lives, would and could be taken away with what the Lord Jesus Christ was accomplishing. But they couldn't connect those two. In fact, they couldn't even understand that they had a need. "What do we need to be saved for?" they said. "We're the children of Abraham. Rather like the people of this world. People are basically good. We're basically good people. Why are you saying these things about people? You don't respect people. Well, but we do. We do. We care for them a lot. Even those that persecute us, even those that say all manner of evil against us, we pray for them. We want them to hear the gospel. We want them to join with us in being the children of God. There's all of these passages, all of these events are made public. In other words, they're written in Scripture for everyone to read. And for generations and generations, hundreds and thousands of years, people have been able to read those and hear those events. Because they're not to be kept in a corner. Oh, Zion, get up to a high mountain, was saying Isaiah. Lift up your voice. Lift it up. Let it not. Don't be afraid. Don't be silent. People need to know. Not to be afraid of their reaction. Not ashamed of the gospel, says Paul. It is the power of God unto salvation. They need to hear. I mentioned before, my mother was saved before my father was, and there was a lot of commotion in the home. My father was very angry at Christianity, angry with us. Whenever that subject came up, it was problematic. My mother would say, tell him about the gospel. Tell him about the gospel. Then, Mom, every time we say that, there's a problem. He gets angry. He takes it out on you. Takes it out on us. But she would say, tell him about the gospel. Tell him about the gospel. Why? Because she knew how important that was for his soul. And if that meant inconvenience for us and inconvenience for her, so be it. That's how important the gospel is. And so when we hide it in our hearts, when we keep silent about it, I'm not talking about shoving it down people's throats. That never works. But to be able to give a reason for the hope that lies in us and not be afraid of that, that's important for you to know. So I ask you, are you like my mom? Are you like all of God's people that understood how great and glorious the gospel is and they kept speaking even though they were persecuted, even as the church in our world, in many countries, continues to meet, continues to preach the gospel even though their lives are in danger. Why? Because they want their fellow citizens to hear the gospel. And so the Scriptures has all of these events laid out for us in order that we might know who the Lord Jesus Christ is and believing in his name that we might have eternal. That's what John says. He says, you know, I could write tons and tons of stuff about the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the world isn't big enough to contain all the books that could be written. But these things are written, he says, referring to his gospel, and no doubt, of course, referring to all of Scripture. These things are written that you might know that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and believing in him, you might have. That's the purpose of all of these truths. That's why Isaiah writes what he says. He knows that people don't believe. He said, who has believed our report and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? But nevertheless, he revealed that wonderful picture that pointed forward to the most central act of the Lord Jesus Christ in laying down his life for our sins. So we want to look at these events then. We want to take them to heart. So that the world doesn't crowd it out. The world doesn't bring so many other stuff into this season that the important message gets left and ignored. We don't want to be party to that. You don't want to be party to that. There's enough people doing that without us aiding and helping them. No matter, there needs to be sadness in our hearts, even as the Lord Jesus Christ. So what privileges we have of open access to the Scriptures. Many, many churches that you can go in and hear the gospel, and people. Too many other things to do. In order to ignore the gospel. And so here is this encounter between Mary and Elizabeth. You remember Elizabeth was the wife of Zechariah. Seniors, by the way. Seniors all over the place. And Zacharias, of course, was the high priest. It was his turn to go into the Holy of Holies. And there he was. And God appears to him. And God speaks to him. Says he's going to have a child. Just like Abraham and Sarah. Going to have a child. What? A child? Well, yes. And he's going to be that voice in the wilderness that Isaiah spoke about. He's going to be that Elijah. He's going to be one to prepare the way before the Lord. Of course, Zechariah was so amazed by the news that he could hardly believe it. Well, he was struck dumb. Speak. And the next time he spoke was when he said his name shall be John. And so Elizabeth was expecting. Nobody would have believed it. Nobody would have thought it was possible. But she was expecting. In fact, 6 months before Mary. And so when Mary is with child, we looked at that last week, and all the pressure that would bring. We're told that Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, spend time with her. And so this is what happens then when Mary goes to see Elizabeth. Elizabeth, who has been has the Holy Spirit, understands what's happening. I mean, she understands about John the Baptist. She understands what these events are, what's going to happen, what's about to take place, and she's excited about that. And now Mary comes to visit her, and all of a sudden, she realizes what's going on. In fact, the baby leaps in her womb. And is not missed on her, but we'll get to that in a few minutes. But she's so full of joy. And Elizabeth, as I said, filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, what does the Scriptures want to impress upon us? It wants to impress upon us that what she's about to say isn't some sentimental feelings that she had. It wasn't just words that she has, thoughts that she has. No. When it says she's filled with the Holy Spirit, what it means is what she's about to say is the very revelation of God. Just like the prophets. I mean, the prophets said a lot of things in their life, no doubt. But when they were about to prophesy, when they were about to deliver God's message, we are taught that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's what Peter says about the Scriptures in general. The Scriptures are not some private interpretations of individuals who looked at events and put their take on it, as it were. No, the Scriptures are God's Word. And they came about as the Holy Spirit moved men, moved the instruments that God chose. So that what they wrote weren't their own words and their own interpretation, but rather they were the words of God. So what Elizabeth is about to say is not her own take, is not her own ideas. This is what God wants you to know. This is what God wants people to know about this encounter. And so how does she start? She says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Blessed are you among women. And of course, Mary echoes that later on by admitting to that. She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit is rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." But what made it so? What was it about Mary that she would be greeted in that way and be known that way for generations to come? Well, it was exactly her role in God's redemptive plan. It was because she was the chosen vessel. It was because she was to give birth to the Word that became flesh. She was the avenue by which the Lord Jesus Christ entered this world. And therefore, she was blessed. See, it's one thing to see these events. It's one thing to be hear these events after they take place, read about them like we're doing this morning. But it's another to be involved in those events. It's another thing to carry in your body. Why is it so easy to say, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? He took on human nature. All of which are true. But nothing gets imprinted on your mind when you carry the child. Which is what she did. People go, that's what makes her blessed. Not because there was some intrinsic value in her. It's not that she was some sort of saint. It wasn't that she was perfect, as so many have fallen into that trap, and I'm sure would horrify Mary for the things that she's been people have said about her and the church has said about her, especially in the Roman Catholic Church. She would never say that about herself. But she was somebody that was taken by God. And she gave herself to God to be an instrument in his hands. And Elizabeth recognizes that. She understands that. And she's so overwhelmed that she would be given the privilege of receiving Mary into her house and of witnessing, as it were, with front row seats, with her own eyes. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And there it was, right before her eyes. Mary coming to her with child. Yes, Mary is blessed among women because she was used by God in such a glorious way. So we need to give her her due, but not to go overboard, not to pollute this truth. but rather to rejoice in it, as Elizabeth did. But she doesn't just say about Mary, and she said, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. She understood the central aspect of this revelation, this wonderful privilege that she had. She understood where to look. She understood where to focus. It was on the baby. It was on the Lord Jesus Christ. It was on that Word become flesh. It was Him who's laid aside everything in order to take up human nature and to come and dwell among us to bear our sins in His body. To be our Savior. No, it was the Lord Jesus Christ that she was overjoyed about. That's why Paul says we preach Christ and Christ crucified. That's the most important truth. And of course, it's so easily set aside, easily forgotten, easily ignored. And you know that as well as I do. The world works so hard to do that. Ignore the truth. Well, they'll engage in all kinds of activities. Even take the words on their lips as they sing the carols and all kinds of things. But they're not focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because otherwise they'd be confronted with their need. And they don't want to be confronted that way. Now Elizabeth was overjoyed. Because the promises that God made throughout the Old Testament had come. They were being fulfilled before her very eyes. You don't have to look forward years and years down the road. No, it was here. The kingdom of God is at hand. And it's so exciting for her to see how God is going to work all of these things out, how God is going to accomplish these wonderful promises that He had made. The angels, likewise, rejoicing, inquiring into all of these things. Of course, with Elizabeth, here was this personal visit that she had. This wonderful privilege and honor that she had. There was no disappointment. I mean, she didn't say, well, you know, I'm Elizabeth, I'm married to the priest, and this young upstart gets all these. Is Mary? I mean, I'm much older than her, I'm much wiser than her. Why should she get that role? And not me? We don't have any of that. She's just glad that she's been permitted to see it with her own eyes. And that should be for each and every one of us. The privilege of hearing these truths, the privilege of reading these truths, the privilege of understanding the gospel should humble us. We thank the Lord for that revelation that He gives, because that's what it is. It's not just reading the words. That's not going to get you anywhere. It's not just having the truths in front of you. It's those truths becoming personal for you and personal for me. That's what they were to Elizabeth. She didn't acknowledge the fact that Mary had come. No, no. It was personal for her. She believed it with all of her heart. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of her that carries the good news. No, it was something that brought such joy into her heart. And so she speaks in this way, the words and the emotions that well up inside of her. She's truly overwhelmed. She bursts out into song. Is that how it affects you? I hope it does. I hope it does. I hope that there is in us a true and inward joy, irrespective of our circumstances. And as Christians all over the world, as I said, some are going to be celebrating this season, not in the way that you and I are going to be celebrating it. Not in the comfort of our homes. Not with present surroundings. They're going to be celebrating it in very dire circumstances. But celebrating it nevertheless. Celebrating it nevertheless. With just as much joy in their hearts. Actually, I shouldn't even put it that way. The challenge is, will you have just as much joy as they do? Not the other way around. Because they will. And Mary and Elizabeth is filled with that joy. As I said, so many seniors in the Advent season. Anna, I don't mean you, somebody like you. Anna and Simeon. We're looking at that on Christmas Day. But joy, just absolute joy. Contentment beyond words can express. As they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only is Elizabeth full of joy, but Mary is full of joy too. She understands what's going on as well. It had been revealed to her what was going on. I mean, not that she could fathom it, not that she could understand it, not that she could put it all together. But nevertheless, knowing that God was accomplishing His great purposes through her. And she's overcome that she would even be used. I mean, that she's a lowly servant, a low state of his maidservant. She's a lowly person. And yet, God has chosen her to do great things for her. She doesn't deserve it. And as I said, that's why I said, Mary would be shocked and disappointed that she would be elevated in the way that she has been in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, if God gave her an opportunity to come down to this world, that's the first place she'd go and rip down all the statues of her and all the things that people are directed to do towards her. That's the first thing that she would get out of the way. What absolute nonsense, she would say. I'm a nobody. And God took me and used me as an instrument in His hand. Nothing immaculate about me at all. I'm a sinner just like you. And I owe my salvation to my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No, she was so humble. And she gave herself. As I said, it wasn't easy for her to do that. There were many things that would come into her life, many criticisms, shame, and things that and taunts that other people would bring to her. But nevertheless, she took it. She took it. Because she knew what God was accomplishing. And any discomfort, any difficulties that she experienced in her life in that period for these things that God had done. It was nothing. It was absolutely nothing. It was so light. It was so temporary. It's not even worth mentioning, she would say. In the light of what God accomplished. in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now she was so thankful to God for His merciful acts, for all the things that God had done for her, to give her His Son, to fulfill those covenantal promises that He had made down the centuries. And even though others had neglected them, thought they were realized already, no. Godly people, those that had faith, continued to look forward, continued to look forward to that day. And here it was. She could see it. People of God, if the promises that God made to Abraham, promises, future promises, if those promises were an anchor for his soul, how much more for those that saw those things in action? How much more for you and me? It's not just promises. No. For us, those things have been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. How solid must be our salvation. One of Ava's favorite psalms that she wants us to reflect upon when she is in heaven is Psalm 40. That He took me when I was in that miry clay, had nowhere to place my feet, no foundation whatsoever. And He took me out and He put me on a rock. That's what He did for Mary. That's what He did for all of His people that looked to Him. Took us out of that quicksand and put our feet squarely on the Lord Jesus Christ, that rock. Oh, those covenantal promises were great, but those promises fulfilled is our inheritance. It's the message that we have. And so she too, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says the things that she says in those verses. There's one last thing that I want to draw your attention to. And that is, not only was it the joy of Mary, and not only was it the joy of Elizabeth, but it was the joy of John the Baptist. The baby in her womb. You know, Christmas is, what do? We center them all around children. We like it too, but it's all around children. Gifts for them and everything like that. Well, you know what the scriptures teach? Their joy ought to be exactly in the same place as ours. People have difficulty, you know, understanding that infants can relate to God. I mean, we're a Reformed church. We have infant baptism. We're not saying they're Christians. But I'm absolutely confused as to why sincere Christians cannot get their minds around God having a relationship, a kind of relationship with infants, that he can't communicate with them. I mean, how ridiculous is that? How ridiculous is that? Oh, well, they can't reason, they can't do all of these things, they can't understand. We're talking about Almighty God. Here is this infant in a room. So maybe no more than 3 months along, because it was about 6 months between John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ. So even if Mary, if Elizabeth gave birth then, there would be 6 months between them. So here's John the Baptist then, at, let's say, maximum 6 months. And as Jesus comes, he leaps in a womb. And you may say, well, there's all kinds of movements that, you know, unborn children have in their mother's womb. That's true. So every movement in a mother's womb isn't joy over something. there was in this case. Because we're not left to interpret that ourselves. It's interpreted for us by people that were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, John the Baptist, at 6 months at maximum, maybe less, rejoiced in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was in such close proximity to him. And that's what Elizabeth testified to. So how much more our children that are not less than 6 months old? They can hear these stories and these truths. We should not put it beyond them that they shouldn't celebrate. It's okay for them with the gifts. No, they need to know. They need to rejoice. So they can understand and be made wise unto salvation. Because to them, we're told in the scriptures, not to forget their Creator in the days of their youth. We're told that they need to be taught these truths from infancy, which are able to make them wise unto salvation. God communicates. And we need to instruct them in these things. We want their joy to be centered around the Lord Jesus Christ and not to be lost on all the other activities that happen all around us. For God, truths that God has made us privy to so vital for your life and mine. The question is, what joy is there in your heart? What peace is there in your heart? And what rejoicing issues forth as a result of that? It is all around the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful that God sent His Son you and for me to bear your sins upon his body, to shed his blood, to cleanse you so that you might be reconciled to God the Father and have a place in heaven. Dear God, this is a glorious, glorious season. Only if you see him and believe in him. Live for him. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that these events that many people were not privy to in terms of being witnesses, you have declared these truths on the housetops. Because the Bible is the most printed book ever in the history of man. And so it's accessible to us. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we would not miss its glorious message and the glorious events. Our Father in heaven, we pray that our hearts would jump for joy over the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Hear our praises and our gratitude, and we pray that each heart would be filled with the joy of our salvation. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the red hymnal, number 219, we'll sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5. 219, 1, 3, and 5.